welcome to our broadcast. We're starting a new section today entitled The Pathway to the Promised Land. God's people are getting out of Egypt and heading to the Promised Land. Stay tuned for our program. There's a big change for the people of Israel, and they're heading on the pathway to the Promised Land. The word paths is in the Bible 42 times. The word path, singular, is in the Bible another 23 times. Pathway is in there once. The phrase the way is in the Bible 340 times, and walk 212 times. Life is a journey, and the word journey is in the Bible another 60 times. Well, they're on the pathway to the Promised Land, but before they leave, in chapter 12, verse 37 through verse 42, they remember past persecutions. Moses says, now look, stop here and take a look at what you're coming out of and remember this, because when God's blessings start coming, you need to remember how good God is in bringing you out of this in the first place. So we have them to remember the past. And then in chapter 12, verses 43 through 51, we have the regulations that God gave them concerning the Passover. And then in chapter 13 and verse 17 through 22, we look at the route they took when they left. And then in chapter 14, verses 1 through 31, we're going to look at the reaction of Pharaoh. Of course, he came after God's people here. And the reaction of people. They were praising the Lord when they got on the other side of the Red Sea because of the great victory that was there. But we find that pretty soon some problems came along. And when the problems came along, things began to change, and they just weren't remembering like they should have been remembering in the first place. Now, in chapter 13, verse number 17, we read, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. Now, first, we said there was the regulations that God gave concerning the Passover, and that's very important. You'll study it in chapter 12, verses 43 to 51. Then we look at the route, and the purpose of this route was that God said, we're going to have to take the long way. We're going to have to go this other way, lest the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. Now, that word war has been translated battle 151 times. Life is a battle. It's not a recreation room. It's a battleground. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Yeah, that's what life is all about, not just some kind of an easy go. And as they went through the wilderness, it was anything but easy as they were heading to the Promised Land. Now, we need to remember that the whole book of Exodus is a book of redemption, but it's not. We think of the word redemption, we think of unsaved people getting redeemed. That's not what it's talking about here. It is redeeming God's people. We're looking at God's people, Israel, and we're bringing them out of the world. So it is what we would call today revival, and there's never been a time in the history of the world when we needed revival amongst the believers of God more than we need it today. Well, we read back in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, it talks about when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. Then Hosea 11 and 2 says, concerning those people that were in Egypt, they sacrificed unto Balaam and burned incense to graven images. Now, God didn't bring them out of Egypt because they were such good living people. These people were far from God. They needed to be redeemed. That is, not in the sense that they needed to be born again. They needed revival. They needed to get back to God. Hosea 11 and 7 says, and my people are bent to backsliding from me, though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. In Micah 2:8, it says, even of late, my people is risen up as an enemy. Jeremiah 2:11, my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Jeremiah 2:13, my people have forsaken me. Then in Jeremiah 5:31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. It's just a case where God's people were far from God, and God is bringing them out. It's redemption, or what we would call revival. And they're heading for the promised land, and again, the promised land is not heaven. When they crossed over the Jordan, the first thing they did was have the Battle of Jericho, and they had a whole lot of other battles. That's not heaven. But what it's talking about, when they crossed the Jordan, and they finally did 40 years later, when they went over there, it was a victorious thing. It was death to self. That's what the Jordan represents. And went on into the battlefield, and they won the battles. They had the victories. I call it the victorious Christian life. That's what it was that they were heading for when we talk about the fact that we are going to the promised land here. Now, in order to get a little background of what we're dealing with here, we need to go to Psalm 106. And as we go down through Psalm 106, we read in verse number 6, we have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of his mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. But verse 8 says, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of them that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, there was not one of them left. Well, it says in verse 12, when that happened, they believed his word and they sang his praises, but that didn't last very long. We read in verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. 14 says they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their requests but sent leanness to their souls. They went on, it says in verse 16, they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord, and the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram, and a fire was kindled in their company, the flame burned up the wicked. You think that'll straighten them out? They're going to be good boys now, aren't they? No. Verse 19, they made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image, and thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. Well, they forgot God. It says in verse 21, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them had not Moses stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Verse 24 says, yea, that is, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word. Let's get it straight here concerning these people. They needed revival. Exodus is a book of the redemption of God's people, trying to get them out of Egypt and get Egypt out of them. Well, we read in verse 25 of Psalm 106, they murmured in their tents, they hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. We'll see that as we study. He sent Amalek in there. That'll get their attention. No, they joined themselves, it says in verse 28, also unto Baal Peor, and they ate the sacrifices of the dead. Verse 29, thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. That word inventions has been translated doings 35 times. They provoked him to anger with the things that they did. And so what happened? It says in verse 29, the plague break in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. Well, you think that's going to get them settled down? They're going to be good people now, right? No. Verse 32, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. says in verse 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom God commanded. They mingled among the heathen. They learned their works. Verse 36, they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. And 37, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto the devils. And 38 says, they shed innocent blood, even the blood of the sons of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. These are not good living people of God. They're God's people, but they need to be redeemed. That is, they need revival. It says in verse 39, thus they defiled, they defiled with their own works and went a-whoring with their own inventions or their own doings. They're going to do what they want to do. Verse 40, therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. There you go. Now we're going to get their attention. And it says in verse 42, their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection unto their hand. And the same thing is true today. If we're not going to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit as Christians today, if we are not going to listen to him, if we are not going to get on our knees and seek the revival that we so badly need today, we are going to be brought into subjection under the hand of them that hate us. They will rule over us, and we will be brought into subjection under their hand. It's going to happen one way or the other. Well, we see here back in verse number 13, Psalm 106, they soon forgot his works. And then in 21, we read, they forgot God. Well, we get into chapter 14. We're getting into a chapter that shows a lot of reactions of different people. First of all, the reaction of Pharaoh in letting the people go. He's decided he made a mistake here. And we read in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-shephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now, we got a very important section here. God says to Moses, I want you to turn and go in this particular direction. Moses was trained in the ways of Egypt, and he knew from a point of view of a war, this was suicide. They were going to be entrapped in that area. There was the Red Sea in front of them. There was mountains on both sides of them. There was no way that anyone who knew anything about fighting battles would take people into that area. And Moses knew how to fight battles. However, more than that, he knew that when God said do something, he just did it. You just do what God says to do. Never mind if it makes sense or not in our pea brains. Let's just do what God says to do. Well, that's what he did. Now, keep in mind, and it's very important to keep this in mind, that God said in verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel. Tell them exactly what's happening. Tell them, verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He is going to come after you, and I am going to show myself powerful once again. Well, you would have thought by all the times that they had seen God work back there in Egypt and all those 10 plagues and how he showed himself powerful, that they would just relax and they would not have a problem with this. Well, they had a major problem with it. Well, it says in verse 5, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled and that the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? We've let all this free labor go. And he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And what's he do? He's coming after God's people. Well, we're going to have to tune in tomorrow to see how this takes place. It's really an interesting story. Be sure and tune in. We'll try to make it plain. We will try to make it simple.